Six. Am I on? Okay. Last night, I talked about some things in this psalm and how they related to me personally, and I've really debated whether I should do that tonight. I feel compelled to sometimes because it gives a real face and real life to these principles, and then you don't think I'm just lecturing you about things that I've not appropriated myself. But I keep remembering we're on the internet and we're being recorded, and I certainly would not want to offend anybody. Lord, hush my mouth if I need to not say something. I love all of the Psalms of David that were written when he was in great distress. And I think the reason that I didn't understand them for a long time. I know Bill and I have talked about it before, where until you come to a place of being in great distress, you kind of think David's just a whiner. You just think, man, come on, move on. Move on with your life. Grow up. Get over it. Until you are in places like David was in, and you don't know what to say, and you don't know how to think. You're just sort of bowled over by the tidal wave that hits you unexpectedly. And then these psalms become precious because you have somebody that you know you can relate to. And the conclusions that David comes to, especially in the ones where he starts out freaking out, and then by the end he's got his confidence in God back, that is just so like me. I had a wonderful, one of my little praise report things that sort of relates to this was I flipped on the radio today and listened to David Jeremiah for a little while. It always blesses me because they sing one of my songs on his program, and that always touches my heart. Because they're singing it for the right reason at the right time, you know what I mean? But he was talking about how Jeremiah hated his job. Jeremiah wanted to resign. He said, I am not going to speak your word anymore. It's not going to do it any good anyway. And I could just relate to that so many times. But you know what? He couldn't keep his mouth shut. He tried, but he couldn't. And I have thanked God every day that he gave me such an easy church where there are people I love. Because Jeremiah had the crummiest job in the Bible. I mean, right up there with Moses. The difference is that Moses has at least got to show people God's miracles. Jeremiah just had to yell at him. They did horrible things to him. And he was a pretty young guy. He could have gone someplace else and started his own TV ministry or something. You know, I mean, he did seem like he was wasted. So it's really interesting looking through that whole story of Jeremiah. When you look at David and you understand the whole story, you see, I know I've said this before, but I'll reiterate it because somebody might be hearing this that didn't hear any of the other times I said it. We call these times in David's life, such as the time that this Psalm 56 was written, we call them David's pre-king days. That's because we know the whole story, and we know that eventually did become king, and the crazy man was dethroned, and God worked it all out. And he was a great king, and God did wonderful things, despite the fact that David made some huge mistakes later in his life. The overall story on David by God is, this is a man after my heart. But David, as his life was unfolding in a linear way, just like our lives unfold, had trouble seeing this as, these are my pre-king days. Just like at this time in my life, God speaks to my heart sometimes in the mornings through my devotional, and it's so clear, it makes me cry. But I have trouble viewing my future with optimism. Not my eternal future, just my immediate future. I have trouble with that. I'll be very frank with you. Not because I don't know that God is good. I know that he is. But just because I can't wrap my brain around how this is all going to turn out for good. So I just rest my full weight on the character of God. And I love it that that's exactly what David did. I love it also that he was a man of, a full spectrum of emotions that were freely, freely vented. And God still said, this is a man after my heart. I don't know why that comforts me so much. I grew up in a church that taught a very unrealistic view of the victorious Christian life. It was, if you were a victorious Christian in the denomination that I was raised in, you never had doubts. You were never ruffled. You were never afraid. And that's, number one, that's not a biblical view of life serving God. Certainly none of our heroes in the Bible had lives like that. The closest one might be Joseph, perhaps. But even Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And so I find it so comforting that there are some wonderful scriptures in here, if I ever get to it. I was going to do two Psalms, but I found out last night I really couldn't, so I feel less constrained tonight. We're going to look at a couple of companion verses that I've written in my margins for some of the things David says here about the limitations of human opposition in our lives. David says in verses 3 and 4 and verse 10 and 11, I'm going to trust in God. What can man do to me? Well, the answer is a lot. They can do bad stuff. But there are limits to what God will allow to happen in our lives. And that is comforting to know. Just as it's comforting to know what God's ultimate intentions are in allowing those things. David, in another place, said, I've hidden your word in my heart so that I wouldn't sin against you. I have found that when I hide God's word in my heart, I have something to draw on when I get hit by the unexpected. And that's why I yearn and I worry even in an ungodly degree about people that I see that are not feeding themselves with God's word, because I know life is going to throw them a curve and I don't know what they're going to stand on. And so I harp on, plant these things in your heart, read them over and over. There's a reason why so many of these psalms were preserved for us. God knows what life is going to be like. And if it's not like that now, it might be tomorrow. And so he's just saying, take note. Look what David did. Look at the whole story. This was written at the time, the very time that David made a huge tactical error. Last week, we looked at the story in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and 21, where David ran to Ahimelech, and then remembered Dougie the rat, the Edomite, who betrayed him and ratted him out, and Saul, who was pursuing David, wound up wiping out Ahimelech and all of his guys. And David just kept running. And we looked at 1 Samuel chapter 23 last week in another psalm where David ran to the Ziphites, something like one of those food storage bags, something like that. He ran to their country, and they ratted him out too. This is sandwiched in between where David made a huge, huge mistake. He thought he would be safe in Philistine country. What was he thinking? Well, you know what? The whole episode with Goliath and the defeat of the Philistine army, it happened when David was just a kid. Now he's not a kid anymore. It's quite a few years later, but you know what? When you're out of options, it's amazing where you'll run for safety. God got him out of a really horrible situation, because what he did was he ran to the first walled city in Philistia, that he could find, which was the city of Gath, which coincidentally happened to be Goliath's hometown. Big city. David just thought he would get lost in the crowd. He thought, Saul, surely Saul is not going to chase me down here. But see, somebody recognized David. Maybe they were walking past the Philistine post office, and they saw this profile and this side view of a little Jewish guy with a slingshot and, you know, numbers across here. And they said, wait a minute. I just saw that guy having a falafel down at the corner. That's King David. And then he realized, I'm busted. And then he just spent the next, however long, it doesn't tell us how long, but he spent a while hiding out, trying to think of, okay, walled cities are great unless you're trying to get out. And he says, what can I do? And this psalm was written during that period of time. And he does wind up saying, I know God's going to help me because I know he's for me. I love that verse, verse 9. But God's answer to David's dilemma was a very, very creative, if not just downright silly thing, but it worked. Have you noticed that in Scripture, sometimes God has asked people to do very silly things, and it was